Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. It's difficult to tell always why people do not obey the gospel. Not everyone who has not obeyed the gospel, he's not a mean person. They're not rebellious. They're not stubborn. They don't love the wickedness of the world. But more often than not, they're simply untaught. They have not yet realized or accepted the fact that they are in need of a Savior. Now, many are not Christians because they have never acknowledged the fact that they are in sin, and that they cannot save themselves by themselves, and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior God has provided, and the only one that He will provide. Now, to admit these things will mean that a person first, of course, must humble himself. He has to sacrifice his pride. He has to confess that he is a lost sinner. And whether we ever really admit that or not, all have sinned. And whether we admit it or not, that doesn't change the truth of it. Sometimes people try to excuse themselves by simply saying, well, to err is human. Well, that's certainly true. But that does not excuse our sins. That's coming very close to admitting the biblical truth that we all have sinned. Sin, you see, is the transgression of God's law. We're not born guilty of sin. We may well suffer the consequences of sin like we do the consequences of the sin of Adam and Eve, and the consequences of others that have gone before us and those who live around us. But we are all guilty of sin because, as Paul has said, all have sinned, Romans 5 and verse 12. And nobody ever obeyed the Lord that doesn't first admit the fact that he needs to obey the Lord and to admit, I have sinned. You see, friend, sin is real. And there are records in the Bible of those who have sinned and who were brought to the realization that they were guilty of sin. And they finally admitted, I have sinned. Well, we start with a man in the Old Testament. His name was Achan. Achan was an Old Testament character that we read about in Joshua chapter 7. He was an Israelite who crossed the Jordan River with Joshua and the other Israelites. And as they approached the first obstacle in taking the land of Canaan, which was the city of Jericho, God told the people of Israel he would give them the city, but they were not to take of the spoils of the city for themselves, because that would belong to the treasure of God. But Achan, when he saw the wealth round about him, he took some of the things and he hid them and kept them for himself. Well, a little bit later, after Israel met defeat temporarily at Ai, Joshua inquired of the Lord why the reason for the defeat. And God told him there was sin in the camp. Eventually, it was discovered that Achan had sinned. He had partaken of that which was not his to have. He faced his guilt. He confessed, I have sinned. And he was then taken and put to death because of his transgression. And you see, by his sin, he had caused the people of Israel to suffer a great loss. And then there was another, the first king of Israel, King Saul. He once also admitted his sinfulness. You see, God sent Saul on the mission to utterly destroy a heathen and very wicked nation of Amalekites that deserved to be eliminated. Now, this was divine retribution for their evil. But Saul did not do what God told him to do. Oh, yes, he went against them, and he won a great victory over Amalek. That was all right. He did that. But he spared the flocks. He spared the herds that were to be destroyed. And he spared King Agag. Well, when confronted with his transgression, he tried to lay the blame on the other people rather than upon himself. He said the people wanted to save the animals for worship to God and sacrifice. But he was condemned by God's prophet Samuel. Samuel told him, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And Saul accused him of Samuel accused him of rebellion and stubbornness and of God's displeasure. And he admitted, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. That's what sin is. It's a transgression of the teachings of God. And he said the people wanted to do these things, but that did not excuse his disobedience. There was another Old Testament person, David. He was guilty of a whole series of sins. He was the second king of Israel, of course, and his series of sins resulted in his futile attempt to cover his sins the wrong way. You see, he tried to cover his sins by accumulating sin on top of sin, and all this did was to accumulate his guilt. Now, David, he was to be the leader of his army in battle, but on one occasion he neglected that duty, and he stayed behind. And he caught view of Bathsheba as she was bathing, and he lusted for her. He sent for her. He committed adultery with her. And later it was known that Bathsheba was with child by David. Well, it was then that David plotted to have Uriah, who was her husband, to return from the battle, for he was a soldier in David's army, hoping to lead Uriah to lie with his wife so that the father of the child would be assumed to belong to Uriah. But Uriah did not cooperate. He refused to lie with Bathsheba, and David then entered into a conspiracy with Joab, the captain of his army, and he had Uriah placed in the heat of battle and was left alone so that he might be killed by the enemy. Sometime later, Nathan, God's prophet, he came to David and he told him a parable, and that parable was designed to convict David of his sinfulness. This is what Nathan told David. There were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. But there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of which was much, and he went to take only the little ewe lamb of the poor man. And he dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, that man that has done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and showed no pity. And David was then told by Nathan, Listen to what Nathan told him. Thou art the man. Well, it was then, after David was convicted of his evil, that David was heard to say, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, when we come to the New Testament, we read of some people there also that admitted, I have sinned. For instance, we read in the parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 15, we usually call it the story of the prodigal son. The young son took his inheritance early. He left home. He went into a foreign country. And there he wasted what he had. He lived riotously. He lived sinfully. And after he had spent all of his wealth with his fair-weather friends, a famine struck the land. And he hired himself to another to feed swine. And he became so hungry that he would eat the food that was given to the swine. But the scripture says he came to himself. In other words, he realized his sinfulness. He realized his situation. He could no longer tolerate this condition. He admitted that he had refused for some time, something he refused to admit for some time. he finally said, "I have sinned." And he resolved to return to his father and to seek the father's forgiveness, asking only to be allowed as a hired servant because he had wasted everything. Well, he did go home. There he found a loving father awaiting him. And he admitted to his father just exactly what he said he would admit. "I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned before thee." It was not until he realized how wrong he had been that he decided to do something about it and seek forgiveness. It was not until he realized how helpless he was and how dependent he was on the Father that he was determined to humble himself and go back to the Father and seek forgiveness. Well, there was another man who spoke these same words, "I have sinned." His name is the infamous name of Judas. In Matthew chapter 26, we read about his plotting with the enemies of Jesus to destroy the Lord in their hands. He waited until he considered to be an opportune moment and to plant the hypocritical kiss upon the cheek of Jesus to identify him from among the disciples. And after Jesus was seized, Judas began to be aware of what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to his conspirators, and he said he had betrayed innocent blood. "I have sinned," he said, "in that I have betrayed innocent blood." Matthew 27, verse 4. But as we look back over these people whose words are recorded in their confession of their guilt of sin, we see how that some sought forgiveness, others did not. You see, there's more to being forgiven than simply admitting guilt, but that remains to be done. None will seek forgiveness until he admits the need of forgiveness. And this may well be the reason that a lot of people never do obey the gospel. They're never willing to humble themselves and to admit, "I have sinned." It begins with the realization that we are guilty of sin and that we cannot save ourselves. It follows by learning that God has sent a Savior into the world, and Christ is that Savior. And what is it that one must do to be forgiven of his past sins? He must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He must repent of his sins and confess his faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. It is then that we rise to walk in a newness of life, and we can enjoy the forgiveness of sin. But friend, whether we admit it or not, and this is a truth that we need to plant firmly into our heart, there's not a single person among us, you speaker and all the others who hear, that cannot join that chorus that said, "I have sinned." You see, it was the mission of the Son of God to come to seek and to save the lost. But only those who will admit the need of Jesus Christ will ever come to Jesus Christ. And so long as a person goes haughtily in his own way, thinking that this life is all that there is to his existence, thinking that he needs no forgiveness, therefore has no need of Jesus Christ, he will not admit his need of salvation, and therefore he will never receive salvation. But you can say, and I can say, "I have sinned," and then we can do those things the Lord has taught us to do to be forgiven. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.